As the baseball strike moves through its fourth week now, I'd like to ask you, Mr. Staub, as player representative of the New York Mets, and you, Mr. Steinbrenner, as principal owner of the New York Yankees, how long you think, or perhaps guess would be a better word, the strike is likely to last. Let's start with Mr. Staub.
Well, very truthfully, having been in just about every meeting since the strike started, I really wish I could be optimistic, but I'm not right now. The major problem of directly punishing a ball club for attempting to sign a free agent, therefore taking away the basic ability of the free agent signing the kind of contract he would without that penalty. We have never broached that yet. Anytime it's ever brought up, you know, we're just on two different planets, as Mr. Grevy says.
Okay, Mr. Steinbrenner, I assume you've revised your original prediction it would be over by June 15th?
Well, I really felt that it would. I guess I have to draw on Mark Twain by saying that the saddest thing to see is a young pessimist, except for an optimistic senior citizen, like myself, I guess. I still feel that this issue, the issues that are on that table, if we bargain in good faith, can be brought to a head very quickly. And I think I look for some movement this week. I'm hopeful. I'm not there every day like Rusty is, but I'm more optimistic.
From CBS News, Washington, Face the Nation on the CBS Radio Network. A spontaneous and unrehearsed news interview with George Steinbrenner, owner of the New York Yankees, and Rusty Staub, first baseman for the New York Mets and a member of the baseball players' negotiating team. Mr. Steinbrenner and Mr. Staub will be questioned by CBS News correspondent Ray Gandolf, by Jane Gross, a sports reporter for the New York Times, and by the moderator, CBS News correspondent George Herman. We shall resume the interview in a moment.
A performance story from Phillips Petroleum.
Sounds good, honey. I'm Becky Haynes. My husband Jim is a policeman in Lincoln, Nebraska. Jim always has to find a better way. So when we added on to our home, we looked for an economical way to heat it. We found a system using new solar energy rods to store heat from the sun. Jim goes on and on about it. He said the rods use a special plastic pipe Phillips Petroleum developed, and that helps keep the cost of the system down. I was surprised an oil company was involved, but I wasn't surprised Jim found such an economical way. Our system supplies a large share of our heat. When Jim said it wouldn't take long to pay for itself, I was skeptical until I saw our heating bills. They're much less than last year's. Leave it to Jim to find a better way.
Phillips Petroleum. Good things for cars and the people who drive them.
And now we continue with Face the Nation.
Well, Mr. Steinbrenner, let's explore your optimism a little bit, especially since Mr. Staub thinks the major issue hasn't really been broached yet. What makes you think that it can be over in a week?
If I sit down with a pencil and paper, and I've had a number of years' experience in labor relations, and look at the issues that are there, they can be boiled down to about three or four main negotiable points. And I just can't believe, of course, it's been a year and a half they've been talking about those negotiable points. But I still cannot believe that it cannot, if the right set of circumstances just occur, be brought to a head very quickly. And I feel it should be.
George, you have been, certainly in my opinion, the most successful practitioner of the current system of free agency. Doesn't making the rules more conservative force you to operate at a lower level, sort of along with the less competent owners?
Well, I don't know about less competent owners, but let me say this, Jane. I have been a big user of free agency along with several other teams. So that, in effect, what I as an owner am advocating now will in some sense restrict my ability to use free agents, although I will still go out and bid for them the same way if I want a player. But I really strongly feel that at this point, it's time for compensation more than just a draft choice, because a draft choice I have seen over the past 4 or 5 years since this thing was initiated in 1976. A draft choice in baseball is not like a draft choice in football and basketball. And when we put free agency in 76, we agreed that it was experimental and we would try it on the basis of a draft choice. That, to my way of thinking, has not worked. It isn't enough to give a team back because that young man may be 5 or 6 years away from playing. So we've come to the point, even though where I may be speaking against myself in some sense, or against the Yankees' practices, I feel it's only fair to give a good player back when I take a good player from another team.
You mentioned other sports in there, Mr. Steinbrenner. The National Basketball Association recently came up with an idea, they're doing it now, in which a free agent can sign with another club. The club, his parent club, can meet that offer or not, and if it doesn't, he goes to the other club. No compensation. And I want to ask first Mr. Staub, would the players accept that kind of...
Well, you know, it's something that's never been brought up. The biggest problem we've had is what I stated earlier, is that we constantly keep talking about, you know, penalizing that club to the point where, you know, there's an awful lot of players out there who are not going to be able to adequately try to get a job even.
But on the compensation issue, the owners want compensation when they lose a free agent. Players say that's okay. And it comes down, it seems, to whether it's going to be affect 12 players, maybe, or 16, or whether the free agent comes from a pool or the losing club. This seems to a lot of people to be nitpicking.
Well, if you're going to talk about the stated objectives that the owners have, there's no doubt the Player Association has considered it and come back with a proposal, which is our pool proposal, which gives them what they've asked for, pertaining to the stated things they want, not the unstated things. The pool program, beyond a doubt, gives them an opportunity to get a very good player, depending on the type of free agent that is signed by the signing club. Now, when you have a very talented person go to another club, we agree, you can have the free agent. I mean, the signing player. It's awfully hot, I'm losing it. But I must admit that in all the things that we've discussed with the owners, it keeps coming back to the fact that when you have...
Well, let me ask Mr. Simon.
I've really lost it. I'm sorry.
Let me go to that question since I have a part of an NBA team in Chicago. That system is being tried 1 year. Before, I would want to say that that's a viable alternative or a viable solution. I would certainly want to see that system in effect more than the 1 year as it's doing in the NBA, because there are many NBA owners right now who are upset with that system because it hasn't done what it was supposed to do. I don't know, the Cleveland team got out and bid on some players, and I don't have all the full particulars, but I'd rather see that system in effect a little longer before we talk about going to that, the NBA system that you spoke of.
Right. Well, baseball in the courts, though, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, the right of a ball player to play out his contract, become a free agent, was established by an arbitrator, upheld by a court, period. There was no compensation was something that was arrived at later.
Well, Ray, in the working out of the system, we in baseball sat with the Players Association to work out the system and the rules under which this would take place. And the agreement was in 1976 that we would, in fact, work out of system. And the system that we arrived at that time, we said, well, all right, the team that loses the player will get a first-round draft choice. And we would try it on that basis. Now, that system, in my way of thinking, a first-round draft choice in baseball as compared to football or basketball, where they move right in with the pro team, isn't the same thing. You're taking many high school boys and boys that take 5 and 6 years of conditioning before they're ready to play in the majors. So, in other words, to go back and say that that system would always be the way, we both agreed we'd try it this way. Now, in my opinion, we need compensation, and the draft choice is not enough. We need more compensation for a team that loses a player. That's what the players have said. So last year when we negotiated, we gave to the Players Association in the negotiation a great deal of fringe benefits. We made them their pension vested immediately. The average salary came up to around $200,000. We raised the minimum salaries, and we gave those things. They, in turn, gave back to us one of the things we felt we did get was their assurance that they would negotiate in good faith on these issues. And I think I can't criticize them. I don't say they haven't been, okay? Now, let me just finish, Rusty, and then I'll be at peace here. The thing that we felt was that, well, now the draft choice didn't work out, so let's now try for a player. and negotiate out how we could set up a system to get a player. So that really, it was part of the negotiating thing. And we avoided a strike last year, took it away from being a strike issue with the consent of the players. And we now feel that we have to negotiate to get something more than a draft choice. And I think, as Rusty said, they agree with that.
Do you agree with that basic premise?
We have tried to. First off, I'd like to apologize to all my colleagues. I don't think anybody understands how hot it gets in here sometimes. And
hotter than I feel?
It was just like I was almost faint. Forgive me. I think the real thing that we're not getting across is that this has been an ownership problem from the beginning. It's not a player problem. The people like George who have gotten into this thing, some of the state owners have felt that they have gone too far in the salaries that they're paying right now.
Mr. Steinbrenner, I wanted to ask you, in line with that, what difference does it make to the owners where the compensation comes from?
I think one of the hang-ups with the owners on the pool concept is that, as Rusty said, if you just want to enter into the draft to be able to draft a player, then you have to put a player into the pool. Now, you may not even get anybody out of the draft, but you may lose a player. For instance, if the Yankees put one of their top players into the pool because we want to draft Rusty Staub. We drafted Rusty last year. We weren't lucky enough to get him, but we drafted him. That means I have to put a player in there. Now, if Rusty goes and signs with the Mets, the team that lost Rusty would still come back and have the right to take the Yankee player that's in the pool. And the Yankees didn't get anything for it. And I think that's one of the problems with the owners. They don't like the idea of giving up a player, putting a player in the pool, when they didn't even get a player back.
You said something a moment ago that I found very interesting. You said you thought this could be settled very quickly under the right circumstances. You didn't say with the right issues. You said under the right circumstances. You're talking about, for example, the owners talking directly to the players. What are the right circumstances?
Well, George, let me say this. As I look at the negotiations that have taken place, I'm a great believer that a camel is a horse created by a committee, okay? I just think when we have too many people in a bargaining room, it's been my experience over 25 years in dealing with about 14 unions, that there comes a point when it's best not to have too many people in that negotiating room. So I wouldn't say that maybe the owners should come in. I would rather see that group contracted down to maybe only two or three people.
Then what are the right circumstances?
And the right circumstances, I say, as I read, and I only get what I read in the papers and what I hear secondhand on this because I'm not on the negotiating committee as Rusty is, there's a great deal of animosity and hate, I'm afraid, maybe being built up in there. That happens when you're in union or labor negotiations over a period of time and sitting there looking at each other for a year and a half. Animosity start to build up. And maybe both sides have to take a look at those and see if in fact, the solution can come quickly with that situation if it is in existence, and Rusty would know more about that than I would, but I sense that it's there, and in past negotiations I've seen it personally.
Isn't it possible then that if there were new people in there, perhaps one or two owners instead of Mr. Grebe, who seems to be at the center of a lot of that animosity, that might help? George?
Well, I have to defend Mr. Grebe. He is our representative, just as I'm sure Rusty will defend Marvin Miller. I happen to think both men are brilliant, and both men are very fine men as far as I'm concerned. I've always said that. And he is our legal representative, and we have appointed him. I don't know. That's just a thought. I'm not certainly one to be doing that because I'm following my player relations committee. And so it might be a possibility. I've seen situations similar, Jane, where that was.
Is there some point at which you stop being satisfied with their performance?
Well, let me say this. I will not be dissatisfied with the performance of the Player Relations Committee. We all voted them in as a committee, and we have cast our lot with Mr. Grebe as he has, as Rusty has, with Marvin Miller. But I just say that I have seen this work, Jane. I have seen it work where a little change here or there and a little contraction of the number of peoples are going to make it easier for Mr. Moffat, who is the mediator, I think, who I think is doing everything he can to bring this about, make it easier for him to come to a success.
Rusty,
is this season dead?
Well, let me put it this way. I have to say something in that area. From the beginning, the players have been involved in this particular negotiation, have not been afraid to be there. There is a big gag rule on all the owners, and that's why you've seen very few things pertaining to owners. In fact, I was very surprised George made the show today.
I've been here all morning.
Right. No, I understand that. What we're down to right now is, George is right, there are tremendous animosities built up. From the commissioner, the league presidents, Ray Grebe, we really feel, besides those people and their lawyers, that there are some owners, no doubt about it,
took a firm, hard line this year and said, if we don't get what we want this time, we're going to hurt them. We're going to let them strike. We're going to force them to strike.
How long ago did they say that?
Well, this is obviously something that's been planned an awful long time. I mean, this $50 million insurance policy has been set up for quite a while. The issue that we're discussing now, this compensation issue, we've told them from the beginning the way they want to do it, it's a strike issue. A year and a half ago, they knew that. Right now, we're into the 23rd or 4th day of a strike, and about a week ago, Ray Grebe said compensation is not a strike issue.
Do you think that the insurance money that the owners are collecting is an incentive for them not to seek a speedy settlement?
Well, as I was saying, there are some people that are no doubt about it in our mind trying to break the union. I don't think all the owners are, but the animosities have been built up through the commissioner's office, the PRC board, and some hardline owners. Without the constructive work between both groups, negotiations down the line are going to be the same as this is right now. Ultimatums and forcing people to do things as they have with us right now to go on this strike. I think that if the owners do get involved in the backdrop, we're not afraid to talk to Ray Grebe and have him be the head of their group. But the stonewalling, the absolutely not discussing what our main objectives, the things that we really can't live with. We don't have a demand on the table. This is something that's their problem.
Well, if this thing stays hard-nosed now, and it's just as hard-nosed now as it was 24 days ago, it seems to me, at what point in the season are you going to throw up your hands and say, that's it, we're all going to take a bath, the season's over?
We're gaining on it.
Well, Ray, let me say this. I think in answer to some of the things Rusty said, you have to understand two things about the owners. The average pay of an average baseball player today is around $200,000 a year. They have probably the greatest pension plan that I have ever seen anywhere in any of the industries I'm connected with. And they travel in a first-class way. We try to do things in a first-class way. So I wouldn't say that we've been exactly Simon Legree's where they're concerned, nor would I say that the strike insurance is any great benefit for the owners, because it's not. The way it's divided up, it sounds like a big number, but when you divide it over the number of games and then divide it by 26 teams, it doesn't come out to...
It's more than the players are drawing.
Well, it may be more than the players are drawing, but what I say is that I don't... we didn't create a strike as far as I'm concerned, and I don't ever want anybody to say that George Steinbrenner or anybody that I know in baseball as an owner has ever said, I want to bust the union. I want to make that very clear. I don't think we have.
At what point in the season, though, do you have to say, we can't play the remainder of this?
Well, I don't know. That point may come sometime. If it comes that far in September, I don't think that if we got to the 1st of September, it would mean very much the last 30 days, would it, Rusty?
Well, this is something to be seen. We can only hope that, as I've said many times, some new enlightenment can come into this thing. But no matter how many times we bring up all the problems that we've had with their proposal on compensation, no matter how many times we raise genuine, you know, things that concern us, they're not listened to. We have never broached the fact that they want to directly punish that club, and that's going to hurt anybody that's in the free agent market. Under the guidelines of the proposal that's on the table right now, it's an incentive for clubs not to try to sign players, because they're going to get another player, maybe like that player, maybe even better in certain circumstances. Because if they're going to draft, even if they had direct compensation, if someone like the Yankees picked somebody, they'd be pleased, because they could get a better player maybe than someone that's a free agent. You know, these kind of problems, you know, everybody keeps talking about the salaries the players are making. The average salary is around $175,000, but the mean salary is about $105,000, which is the middle player. The salaries are not the issues. The owners are taking in tremendous gate receipts. Radio and TV has never been better. All the criteria that they were concerned with from the beginning of this free agency period, their concerns, I mean, they had 5 or 6 points. Competitive balance has never been better. Attendance has never been better. The actual idea of having compensation, we don't understand in the first place. But we've heard their problems. We've tried to put ourselves in their position so we can see what they are. And we have definitely tried to come up with a way for them to get a good player in return without penalizing that player that's the free agent.
Mr. Steinbrenner, are you likely to join two other owners who are interested in calling a meeting of the owners?
No, I don't know that there's any plan to call a meeting of the owners, and I don't know that that's necessary. I want to say a couple things to what Rusty has said here. Number one, we talked about, if you'll recall, we talked about the right platform to solve this thing. I don't think having all the players in the meeting is the right platform. In the first place, the players don't even negotiate their own contracts. They all have agents. So if they can't negotiate their own contracts, how do they feel they can come into a complex issue like this and negotiate, particularly without Marvin Miller in there, who is a brilliant man, in my opinion.
There are no owners in there.
See, this is one of the fallacies that's come down, because I have to say this right now, George.
You want to let me finish?
The players, I can't, because we're running short of time. The players are absolutely the people that make the decisions in this area, and this is one of the fallacies that's been for years. The reason why Marvin left these meetings, because most of the owners and a lot of people in the media keep saying that he's the reason why we're on strike. While we were on strike, the players had the opportunity to go in, sit down, and they could have sold anything they want to us. And this is one of the real problems we have, is they really don't understand. It's not Marvin Miller. It's the Player Association and its
problem. The problem you got, Rusty, is that you got too many guys in there, different guys coming in and out that don't know what they're doing in labor negotiations.
We have not had that at all.
There's an old saying that knowledge comes, but wisdom lingers. Albert Tennyson said that.
Gentlemen, is there going to be an All-Star game this year?
Is there going to be an All-Star game? I would say if it ends soon, there will be an All-Star game. There should be a way for the fans.
I really can't voice an opinion. That's one of the things they haven't discussed with us.
Can it be done in the time remaining?
Well, a lot of things can be done, if they're worked on. I wish I had a better answer for you.
How much time do players need to get in shape for any game, let alone All-Star game?
Well, right now, obviously, one of the things that's a big, big issue is how much time we're going to get back in shape, and the accredited service that, is going to mean a great deal to a lot of players.
Well, the accredited service is a negotiable item. I mean, it's an item that should go for a grievance procedure and arbitration, so you won't have a problem with that.
On that negotiable point, we've run out of negotiable time. Thank you very much, gentlemen, for being our guests on Face the Nation.
A recent article in the Wall Street Journal explained why consumers may finally get a break after 2 years of double-digit inflation. If information like this is important to you, you should be reading the Wall Street Journal every business day. So have a pencil ready for an important offer from the Wall Street Journal that can help keep you informed of anything happening in every phase of business that can affect your future or your company's future. Other recent stories in the Wall Street Journal reported on a movement to aid family-owned businesses through a cut in estate taxes. You would have read about the Justice Department's expanding war on white-collar crime and a new plan to get savings and loans back on their feet. The Wall Street Journal. It's all the business news you need when you need it. Right now, you can get 26 weeks of the Journal, one for every business day of the week, for less than $1.60 per week. That's just $41 for 26 weeks. So if you're serious about business in the continental U.S., call toll-free 800-228-6600. That's 800-228-6600, except in Nebraska. You'll be billed later.
Today on Face the Nation, George Steinbrenner, owner of the New York Yankees, and Rusty Staub, first baseman for the New York Mets and a member of the baseball players' negotiating team, were interviewed by CBS News correspondent Ray Gandolf, by Jane Gross, a sports reporter for the New York Times, and by the moderator, CBS News correspondent George Herman. Next week, another prominent figure in the news will face the nation. This broadcast was recorded earlier today in New York and was edited to conform to time requirements. It was produced by Joan Barone, directed by Robert Vitarelli. Jim McGlinchey is the associate producer. Face the Nation is a production of CBS News. This is the CBS Radio Network.
This is Miller Sports Extra with Bill Mazur and Tom McDonald sitting in for John Dockery. Brought to you in part by Miller High Life. If you've got the time, we've got the beer.
For a very short time, this past Thursday, as a matter of fact, it seemed that the baseball negotiations were on their way towards settlement. There was optimism that come Saturday, there would be a light at the end of the tunnel. And then, well, let's hear from Ray Grebe, Marvin Miller, and Bob Boone.
We are, in fact, trying to do what we set out to, and that is give a club who loses a man that way, a professional athlete who has some potential, to fill the hole. We think this was a major move. I can't emphasize enough that it was a move characterized as negotiable and flexible, not firm or fixed. And it was met by the answer, this is something we won't bite into. Call us if you have something more.
It was slightly different from the earlier one, but in terms of where we are in the 23rd day of a strike, it is so inadequate as providing a basis for a settlement that it is almost impossible to believe.
I am obviously very disappointed in the movement at this stage. If it continues very much longer, my recommendation to a lot of players will be look for a job.
There is one writer who's on the side of the owners in this baseball dispute, and I don't always agree with what he says in his nationally syndicated column, but I always respect his work. Later in the show, Dick Young will be here live to talk with us about his opinion on the baseball strike. The baseball strike is now in its fourth week, and it doesn't look like it's going to end very soon. With us tonight is probably one of the most famous sportscasters, sports writers, I should say, if I will, Dick Young of the Daily News, who has written about this strike for some time. Dick, what's your opinion on the strike right now?
Well, you just said that there are no indications that it will end. I think strikes end very often without any indication that they're going to end. You get a sudden... I've compared it in the past with a rib cartilage injury. You have this severe pain, and you just hangs on and hangs on, and it looks like it's never going to go away, and then one morning you wake up and it's gone. There's no gradual healing to a rib, at least it's my experience, to a torn rib cartilage. And there it is all of a sudden. I think strikes end that way. You won't get any indication of it, and then maybe tomorrow, maybe the next day, bing, it'll be over. They'll say, we've got it. We've hammered out the basics. Now we'll just sit down and get the details, but meantime, we're going to go back to work.
Did you expect it to last this long?
Yes, in fact, when it happened, I said it's going to be a long strike, and I predicted that it would end on July the 6th, so I have 24 hours.
Why? No, I'm serious. Why?
I just thought that as they approached the All-Star game, it would end, because neither side could take that kind of a blow, particularly the players who the owners are due to make in August a $2.34 million premium payment on the pension plan for the ball players. They do that twice a year. There's a stipulation that if the players do not play the All-Star game for any reason involving their initiative, the owners do not have to make that payment. I just couldn't see the players forcing the owners to miss that payment and weakening their own pension system.
Dick, Tommy said to you before we came on, and I had the same feeling too, you seem to be pro-player, pro-owner, anti-player.
Mm-hmm.
Is that unfair?
I don't like the label any more than I like the label conservative. I don't like labels in general. I try to judge each issue by its own merits. In past, I've been on the players' side when I thought the players were right. I'm usually on the underdog's side, and I think in this crazy world of ours, the pendulum has swung so far that the nuts are running the nut house, and that goes for whether it's a hijacked airplane or hostages in a bank or ball players running baseball. I just think it's gone too far, and the owners are the underdogs, and it should swing back a little bit. I don't see how anybody who enjoys a life that a ball player enjoys can go on strike and try to make us believe they're being put upon.
Well, aren't they, though, in a way, Dick? Like, if you and I wanted to change jobs, if you wanted to change mm-hmm. newspapers or syndications, or if I wanted to go to another network or mm-hmm. something like that, our employers now wouldn't have to give our future employers anything for our services.
Right.
Why do you draw the line in baseball?
I've heard those analogies, and they don't apply at all. You can't compare baseball with an industry that doesn't spend $1 million to train you, which baseball does. Baseball invests a tremendous amount of money. You can't compare baseball with basketball, which gets this endless supply of fresh talent ready to step right into the majors and play football, right out of college, ready to step into the majors and play. They don't have farm systems. They don't spend millions of dollars developing these players. When you make that kind of an investment, you deserve something back.
Well, you say there isn't an analogy. I would disagree with you on that, because I know people in this industry who feel that if they bring somebody in from Buffalo, New York,
mm-hmm.
and the guy makes it pretty good and then decides to go to another station, that he has shown very little concern for the people who gave him the opportunity.
Well, I don't care about people in your industry. I don't think it applies here. You're telling me that people in your industry will determine what applies. They might think that you're an ingrate. That's possible. But there's a heck of a difference between an ingrate and a guy who owes you something that you can count up on a ledger.
The only thing about
I invest, they will say to you, I invest $2 million a year in the farm system. Out of that, I get two players a year that will make the majors, about. That means $3 million per player to make the majors. They put all that money and time and effort into it.
But it's a write-off, Dick.
But it's a write-off. Going to taxes, what's a write-off?
But it's a write-off.
Well, then so are wages a write-off. Why doesn't your boss pay you $1 million a year?
I've asked him that several times.
Come on, you don't write off. You say that like you're a tax expert. You're not a tax expert.
No, but I do know this. You see,
you never write everything.
Once Peter Seitz said that a contract could be made invalid and the ballplayer could become a free agent, there is no more argument about the free agency.
No, he didn't say that.
What did he say?
No, he didn't say that. He said, draw a formula. He said, they can move, but it would be senseless to have them move around indiscriminately. He said, make up a formula. And they made up a formula. And at the time they made up the formula, and this point is forgotten by everybody, they said, and it's written in the agreement, this shall be experimental. Now, they experimented for about 5 years with this thing. The owners are displeased with it. Now they say, hey, try our thing a while. And that's all I say.
But that's
not poison.
But that's what collective bargaining is all about.
Try it a while.
Right.
But now, I'll tell you what collective bargaining is all about. They give you these phony lines about, we're not going to give back anything that we've gained. We fought for these things. We're not going to give them back. This issue that they're arguing about now was part of a package of a year ago. The owners didn't just throw this on a table and then like the players say, we're not asking for anything. No, surely they're not asking for anything. They got everything they were asking for a year ago that was part of this package, which is the same issue that the owners wanted one thing, compensation, in return for which they were willing to give increased benefits and a pension, increased health insurance, increased pay, increased meal money even.
Mm-hmm.
Up to $37.50
a day.
And they said, give us compensation. So they said, okay, we'll take all the things you've offered us and we'll put the other thing off for a year. Now they make it sound like it's standing there all by itself. It's not standing by itself. It's part of a package.
Agreed.
The owners have already given a mountain to get this one crumb.
One point that you made before about Major League players costing so much money to nurture through the minor leagues. What about Dave Winfield, the guy that came right out of college? They didn't spend any money on teaching him his craft, and why should he be denied the chance to move?
But he's an exception. He's certainly an exception in every way. He's
right.
An exception. He's getting $1.5 million a year, you know. And he got a whale of a bonus. So whoever signed him originally, San Diego, they put a lot of money into that guy.
Let me ask
you. Put a lot of people in the seats.
All right.
Let me ask you.
But they take a gamble.
Is there any?
You know, when they lose, when these guys don't make it.
Is that all the time we've got? A minute? I don't believe it.
Go ahead.
They tell me the owners had agreed among themselves that they wouldn't raid one another until Turner did it with Claudel Washington. Now, what player forced
them? They tell you that the owners, if the owners were to get together and try to agree on what the price of hot dogs or beer would be in a ballpark, Marvin Miller would have them in courts for collusion. Don't believe that any owners got together and made an agreement because there's no way they can do it. If that were possible, nobody would be making more than $200,000 in baseball.
Let me ask you, did you get fair time tonight?
That's the risk you run when you ask me.
No, I've only... Of course. You see, Dick, I just feel that if a guy has a God-given talent, and ball players do, you can't sit around and talk about, you know, look at the kind of job they have and the hours they have. I'd love to be able to do it, but I can't. I'd like to be able to fight like Sugar Ray Leonard and make $2.5 million.
That's why they make big money.
Okay. I'm saying to you that maybe they are. The pendulum has shifted. But you couldn't get those 26 owners to agree on anything.
I'm not saying the owners are. I think the owners are perfect fools. Many of them at times. I just think in this particular issue, they happen to be right. They're on a losing streak. They ask for one crumb, and the spoiled ball players don't want to give up anything. They want everything their own way.
If the strike is not over by next week, you're going to come back next Sunday night? No kidding. We've only begun. We've only warmed the thing up. Good night, everybody. Take care, Tommy.
Good night.
Good night, Rich.